Chapter 11, Generosity. 전대유케, to give, to share, to have a heart. The story of Brings the Deer. Sometimes it's easy to forget that we live in a place, this world, where many other beings live too. As two-leggeds, humans, we believe we are the most powerful beings to walk the earth. We don't seem to understand that the power that comes from being numerous is not the same as the power that comes from being wise or kind. Long, long ago, it is said that our people lived in a cold north country. No one knows for how long, but they had to find a new place to live because there came several winters of near starvation. The snows were very, very deep, and the great curved horned deer, the caribou, which they hunted for food, seemed to have gone elsewhere to live. Only a few were found, and they were old and sick, and their meat was tough and stringy. Finally, the people noticed that the wolves were gone, and they knew they had more than likely moved to some other place where the deer were plentiful. That winter was very hard. The meat from the few old and sick deer had to be given out in small portions, and many old people died because they gave their meat to the very young. The council of old men talked and talked about the difficulty that was a visitor in their lodges, and decided it would be wise to do as the wolves had done. It was time to find a new place to live, and perhaps when the deer returned, they could return as well. In the spring, after the snows began to melt, those that were still alive made preparations and set out toward the south. There were many forests to the south, they had heard, and perhaps there was deer to be found there. Day after day, for many, many days, they traveled, and it was not long before they had eaten all of the food they carried with them. It took all the skills of their hunters to find rabbits and squirrels enough to feed everyone. A sudden spring blizzard came upon them, but they were able to pitch their small lodges in the shelter of a forest and hide from the icy breath of the north wind and the sting of the flying snow. The blizzard howled for days, and there was nothing to be done but huddle inside the lodges and wait. Finally, there came a dawn that was silent and very cold. The people emerged from their small lodges to see that a new blanket of snow covered the land from horizon to horizon. There was a great silence also, and it seemed that they were the only beings on the face of the earth. The old men advised everyone to gather wood and build fires while they talked among themselves. Staying warm was necessary, of course, and the people knew how to warm themselves in winter. The greater worry was their empty food containers. If something more than a few rabbits and squirrels could not be found, they would starve. The old men had a plan. All the men were sent into the forest to find as many rabbits and squirrels as they could. They were able to gather enough meat to last several days. Then the old men revealed their plan. Two of their best young hunters were to be sent deep into the forest to find deer. All the squirrel and rabbit meat was dried and prepared for them. That night, the two hunters who had been selected prepared their weapons and made ready for their journey. As the new dawn broke, the two hunters tied on snowshoes and headed into the forest. This was new country to them. They didn't know the land as they had in their old home. They paused often to look at their back trail so that they could find their way back to their people. The forest was thick and dark, but many of the trees were not unknown to them, especially the wazi, a pine that grew thick and tall. As yet, they had seen no animals except for squirrels and rabbits, and they had found no tracks. They wondered what kind of animals they would see in this new country. The one they didn't want to meet was the great white bear, who was the most powerful and fiercest of all the four-leggeds. It took many hunters with long lances to kill one white bear. They ate their dried meat only a little at a time, and when a squirrel or a rabbit was close enough for a good shot, one of them would kill it with an arrow so they could have a little fresh meat. If there was a miss, the arrow was lost in the deep snow and arrows could not be wasted. An arrow lost meant one less chance. They were mindful of such things because they knew the hopes of their people walked with them, and they were determined to be successful. And so each morning they prayed for strength, skill, and courage. And each day they faced the cold and the uncertainty as they moved deeper and deeper into the forest. After many days of travel, they saw tracks that looked like deer, but they were small. The great curved-horned deer of the north had large, wide split hooves. The tracks they found were those of small split hooves. Still, they were encouraged and followed the tracks. Many days on the trail had weakened them, and even though they had been very careful, their food bag was nearly empty. They awoke one morning to a cold wind that made it difficult to light a fire. But worse than that, it wiped out the tracks they had been following. There was nothing to be done but wait out the wind. The next dawn was again cold, but it was clear and calm. So they set out once more. To remain strong enough to face the cold and the deep snow, they had to eat. But unless they found fresh meat soon, they would not have enough strength to finish their hunt. They found no tracks the next day, and the forest was strangely silent. That night, as they rested and warmed themselves by their fire, the two hunters spoke of what to do. "Our relatives are waiting and they are hungry," said Seize the Bear. "We must go on." "Yes," agreed Left Hand. "But we should return to the meadow where we saw the tracks, and we must hunt until we find something, or until we no longer have the strength to walk." They found the meadow the next day, and a few tracks of snow had not covered. But walking through the deep snow on snowshoes had sapped their strength. And what the snow didn't take from them, the cold did. They made camp and ate the last of their food. By sunset of the next day, all they had was a fire to keep the cold away, and it barely did that. They had no food. The next day was the same. They found no tracks of any animal, and each day thereafter, they could feel their strength leaving them a little at a time. After that, they began to stumble often, and soon they couldn't travel long without stopping to rest. It was the afternoon, and they had managed to build a fire as they rested. Left Hand had fallen into a snow-filled gully, and it had taken all of Seize the Bear's strength to help him out. Both hunters shivered as they sat sadly staring into the flames. Suddenly, there was a crashing through the trees, and a form dashed past them and into that same gully. It was a deer, a kind they had never seen before, with a gray coat and great forked antlers. It fell into the gully onto its back and struggled mightily to turn over. The hunters couldn't believe what they saw. "Your bow!" shouted Seize the Bear. "We must shoot it quickly!" They moved as swiftly as they could, but the cold had numbed their fingers, and they had difficulty placing their arrows on the strings of their bows. The great gray deer had gained its feet and was nearly out of the gully before they could shoot. But two arrows flew straight, and the deer was mortally wounded. With a last great leap, he flew over the gully's rim, then fell in a heap, never to move again. That night, the hunters feasted on a deer's heart, and their strength returned. The next day they made drag poles on which to load the carcass and pull it through the snow. It was a very large deer, but it had small cloven hooves, and there was much meat that they would save for those who waited. They began their return journey, strengthened by their success. Not knowing what to expect, they took turns guarding the deer at night. It was on the second night of the return journey that Seize the Bear thought he was having a dream. As he sat by the fire huddled beneath his robe, a skinny coyote appeared in the firelight and spoke. "It has been a hard winter," Coyote said, "and my family is hungry. If you are a kind being, you will give us some of your deer meat. We would need only a little to get us by." Seize the Bear rubbed his eyes, but the coyote was still there, sitting just at the edge of the firelight. He woke left hand. I think I'm having a strange dream. Look there, and tell me what you see, he said. Left hand looked and saw the coyote. A coyote, he said. I have never seen one this close to a fire before. You are great hunters, and I know you have good hearts, said the coyote. Left hand was astonished. I am an old woman, and have lived a long life. But it is for my family that I beg your kindness. We need only a little of your meat, she said.